Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me, if you would, interestingly enough. I want you to know, if nothing else gets across to you this morning, that with all your struggles, with all your difficulties, all of those things that life throws at you, you have found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Can you believe that? Can you receive that? You need to realize that the presence of God that we've sensed this morning, you might have taken a little for granted because it happens a lot, so much in our church. Not every church experiences what we experience on nearly every Sunday. And so you need to realize that God has a special place in his heart for you, and that you are the apple of his eye, and he has a great deal of confidence in your walk with him, and he knows where you're at, and he has blessed you this morning. Amen? Praise the Lord. In the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, I'd like to read for you some scripture. And I'm not so concerned about the definition of faith that is recorded here for us. I know you've all probably read this or at some point had it quoted to you about what faith is. And frankly, most of us have our own definitions, our own ideas of what faith is and how it works in our lives. And the Bible tries to, I think, and the author of the book of Hebrews tries to give us an understanding, not a definition that is an end-all of definitions of what faith is. Because every one of us that have had to put faith in Christ and experience the results of that, you know what I'm talking about? I'm not talking about salvation now. I'm not talking about being filled with the Spirit or any of those major works that God does in our life. I'm talking about just your everyday walk with Christ. And circumstances require you to fall back on something. What is it that you fall back on? Well, it's faith. We label that faith. And it's the thing that you exert toward the Lord, that confidence, that trust, that faith in him. And something happens. There are results. You express your faith. You put your trust in Christ. And he answers your prayer. Ask a question just to kind of confirm this. Has anyone here, by a show of hands, ever had God answer your prayer? Unanimous, amen? And I know that sounds so rudimentary and so elementary to our Christian walk. But you see, what we don't often realize, or maybe we do, but we just don't always, you know how you know something, but you don't always act on it? We know that our faith activates the hand of God and causes the hand of God to move. It's not a formula thing. It's a thing of relationship with the Lord. Because let's be honest, God does not always answer all of your prayers the way you would like him to. Sometimes he just says no and forgets it. But many times, and probably most of the time, he hears our prayer. He doesn't evaluate our worthiness. He responds to us and answers our prayer because he loves us. Are you understanding that? When God answers prayer, it's not because the Bible said he has to answer prayer. If you got that in your mind, I hope you'll erase that. Take your old chalkboard eraser and get that out of your mind, because God responds to our faith with love. He answers our prayers because he loves us. That's his motivation. He cares for us. He's concerned about us. He wants the best for us. And when we come to that understanding, then we will be able to build on the foundation God has established in our lives. Last week we kind of talked about strengthening our foundation. This week we want to talk about how to build on that strong or strengthened foundation. And so in the book of Hebrews, let me read a few verses for you. And then I'm going to come from a different direction a little bit. And then right back to what this chapter is all about. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now you can parse that, and you can analyze that all you want to. Go ahead and do that while I continue to read further, because I want to go a little further than that. For by it, faith, for by By it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. And that by itself is so profound. You can write volumes on that. So that things which were seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaks, or leaves a reputation. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch was translated. Now, let me pause for a second here. There's not a whole lot written in Scripture about Enoch. It gives a little bit about his faith in God. It gives a little bit about who he is in the lineage of the history of man. But not a whole lot is written about Enoch, except that he was a man of faith. But in the book of Hebrews, we understand what that means. We understand that Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Man, wouldn't you like to have that on your tombstone? Here lies Gary Connor, dead as a mackerel, and he pleased God. Write it any way you want to. I'd like to be known as somebody that pleased the Lord. Verse 6, which is our main scripture this morning, but without faith it is impossible to please him. Okay, Enoch pleased him by faith, and he was translated, but without faith it's impossible to please him, God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is... pretty logical, basic, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And let me read one more encouraging verse. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, or not seen yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by what? Not by law, but not by decree, but by faith. By faith, by believing, by choosing to believe. You see, I think faith is a willful thing. It's something you choose to do. And I think it can be constant, it can be consistent, or it can be erratic. But I think faith is the key that moves all the things that God wants to do in your life. And I'm going to tell you something else that I do not believe. I do not believe that you have to muster a certain amount of faith to get God's hand to move. Amen? I think you just have to have faith. I do believe faith is something that can grow. I do believe it is something that can expand, and you'll see that later in this message, how important I think that really is. But I want you to understand some things about faith and about God, and I'm going to use some terms that you may not be agreeing with, but I'm going to use them anyway because I'm preaching and you're not. And so most of us who have read this portion of Scripture appreciate the examples of Abel and Enoch and Noah. These are famous stories in the Old Testament, all of which non-believers refute and ridicule and laugh at as being just fables or ancient history kind of thing, stories, and that are not really true. But I want to be one who declares, because when I stand before the Lord, I want him to know that I believe all of this. I believe that Abel offered a sacrifice. His brother killed him for it, but he offered a sacrifice, and God honored that and declared it a righteous sacrifice. I believe Enoch was, and then he was not because God took him. I believe that. I believe also that Noah built an ark under the commandment of God, and a funny thing is that when the water started rising, everybody wanted to build a boat then. So I believe all these things, and I think historically we don't have any evidence that they did not happen, and no matter how they dig in archaeology, it's funny. The more they dig in archaeology all around the world, the more they discover that the Bible is true, and that God really does and has done the things the Bible holds for us. Now, the reason I emphasize these things is because most of us deeply appreciate what God has done for these great men. We consider Noah and Abel and, Abraham and all the old Bible stories, Jonah, all those Bible stories, we consider these to be great men of faith, great men that God used in a powerful way. And whenever we read the stories, it kind of encourages us. But when we're living our everyday lives, sometimes it's hard to make the connection between those old stories and where you are in your personal life. Amen? Because not many of us are I mean, it rains all the time now. None of us are asked of God to build an ark. You know what I'm saying? So that's not something that we experience. But we do experience problems, distress, troubles that we talked a little bit about last week. We go through life, which is not easy. Even in the richest country in the world, life is sometimes tough. Amen? And life throws things at you, circumstances at you, that you don't know how to necessarily always deal with them. But we realize that no matter what our circumstances are, there's some tough things that we have to go through. And we really need to have some faith in order to overcome or to get through these situations. We got to have somebody to believe in, somebody to trust in, because these circumstances are beyond my control. And I'll be honest with you. I've put trust in lawyers before. No offense to any lawyers here this morning. I've put trust in lawyers before, and they didn't help me. I put trust in doctors, and they don't always help you. I put trust in lots of professional people that have been a long time in school learning about the particular thing I may have, and I put my trust in them, and they are not always able to help me. Sometimes, but not always able to help me. So I can't always put trust in men or in professions that I think are going to minister to my need. I may go to them at particular times when I think I really need their help and so forth, but generally, the only person that has been consistently able to help me in all of my situations has been Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only begotten Son of the Father. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And so with that in mind, I hope to build on the confidence that you already have in Jesus Christ. Those of you that came up here this morning in response to our call for if you need a miracle in your life, had to exercise something, had to have enough guts to get up and walk up here. And so it's a little easier when a crowd of people are moving that way. It's a little easier to do that. But you still had to make the choice to come forward and stand deliberately before God and exercise your faith. Whatever amount that might have been, it may have been a mustard seed, it may have been more, I don't know. Only you and God know that. And you know that by relationship, not by quantity. You know that by because of what God has already done in your life, you respond to your current situation based on what you have already experienced. You know that's how you make decisions, don't you? You evaluate where you are, what you've already gone through, the experience and the wisdom you've gained from the things you've gone through. You use that to make decisions in your life. And so you came up here this morning with something on your mind, something that's happening in your life, a need you may have or whatever, a miracle of whatever kind it may have been, whatever flavor. You came, you made the decision to listen to the pastor, come forward, and place your faith on the line. Now, let me put it to you this way. If you did not do that, you're going to have a little more struggle in getting God to answer your need and respond to your prayer. Because you must come with faith in order to please Him. Make sense? Starting to make a little bit more sense? And so when you came, God paid attention to that. When you stepped out by faith, and I know our church does things different than a lot of churches, and I'm not slighting any other church and the format that they use to worship the Lord and to pray and all those kinds of things. I don't. But in this church, we believe that when you step out of your seat and you walk forward and you express to God faith that He and He alone you're trusting for this particular need, I want you to know, as a man who's served the Lord for 40 some odd years, God responds to that. He pays attention to that. And He rewards that. Because you know what that is? That's an example of diligently seeking Him. You came diligently. You came with purpose. You came with determination. You came deliberately. I believe those are all elements of faith. You came deliberately. Now you anticipate and wait for the response of God. And trust me, God will respond. If He did it for Noah, if He did it for Abel, if He did it for Jonah, if He did it for Abraham, He's no respecter of persons. He will do it for you. The whole attempt in the New Testament of writing the story of the ministry and life of Jesus Christ is to encourage believers to remember what Jesus did and how He responded to people's need and how much compassion and love He had. You need to understand God loves you beyond all of your failures. You know why we sometimes are reluctant to express our faith and ask? We're always beating ourselves up with guilt because we fall short of what we think God expects of us. And maybe we do. But we have a God so big and so awesome, he doesn't excuse sin. Don't get that idea. But he's certainly gracious enough and wonderful enough to forgive you and get you on the right track, especially if you take a step toward him. And if you have a specific miracle you need, you touch the hem of his garment, virtue flows, healing flows, miracle, deliverance flows, because you reached out. You're getting an idea that faith is much more than even the first verse of Hebrews? I realize it's believing in something you can't see and believing until it becomes something you can see and you can feel and touch. You know what I'm saying? And so sometimes our limited view of what faith is constrains us from believing beyond our fear and our anxiety, because one of the biggest obstacles to God's miracles in your life, one of the biggest obstacles to you overcoming anything that is an obstacle in your life is that, in fact, here's the best example. One of the things that prevents you from ministering more than you do is, my wife told me this morning, I think it's just good, I want to share it with you. It is your fear of failure. It isn't the fear of the devil or the fear of anything other than that you might fail in the eyes of men. Is that not the convoluted thinking? Of course it is. And why do you fear sharing your faith with someone else? Why do you fear doing a ministry? Well, it's because we don't know the outcome. So because of that uncertainty, that feeds our fear. So it paralyzes us. And by the way, it also paralyzes your faith. Because you have a real tough time believing God will answer your prayer when you pray for the sick or pray for someone or try to lead someone to Christ. It's always astonishing to me to look at the expression on people's face when they tell you a story about how they led someone to Jesus Christ, just telling them what God had done for them, and they led them. It wasn't the two eternal questions or the five eternal questions. It was just that they shared what Christ had done, and these people believed, and they're astonished. We as Christians should never be astonished at the mighty work of God in other people's lives, and especially if he uses us. But fear should never be an obstacle. Fear should never be an option for us. Fear is only something that debilitates our faith and our ability to do great things for God. Hey, let me tell you something. Faith builds, and when you build on a foundation that's been strengthened, let me tell you what happens. I think it's an awesome thing, and I think this verse 6 really kind of outlines what I think is awesome. I think our faith is built when we see God do things. That's why it's important. It's important for us to make sure you know when God does something in somebody's life in church. It's important for us to tell you what happened to Steve Train and Jim Jarrett and Pam Hutchinson and Kim. What's the other miracle I'm thinking of? Anyway, doesn't matter. It's important for us to let you know those things are happening in church, because what does it do for you when you see God touching someone else? Does that not increase your faith? And that's the only way we can talk about faith is in quantitative terms. Although I don't think that's important, it's still how we understand it. And so does not your faith get stronger? Maybe that's a better word. Does not your faith get stronger that God will do things for you and do things for other people when you see God doing things for other people? And of course it does. But I want you to understand some things about faith. I think faith can be described in lots of terms, and I don't think that what I want to share with you is any better than the way the author of Hebrews expresses it. But I just want you to understand things. I'm in a pastor's council meeting. When we have pastors' council meeting, we always go over the finances of the church as part of our stewardship and our responsibility. Make sure the bills are paid, and all those kinds of things. And I have a note from Janet on the paperwork that we're about to go through, the minutes and so forth. And I get a note from her that our mortgage of this church at that particular moment and that she'd written it, it was $149,000 is what we owe on this church. But she'd already made a payment, so it's back down to about $147,000. I want you to stop and think for a second. We owe on this church probably less than some of you owe on your houses. And let me tell you how that's come to pass, because we have believed God would provide, and God has provided. I could spend all service long telling you how he's provided, but let me tell you in just one simple term. He's provided because people had faith that their gift would make a difference in the debt that this church owes. Amen? And so now we're owing, this church is assessed right now, or the last assessment I saw, this church is assessed at $1.3 million. We owe $147,000. Is that, I'm surprised somebody's, well, maybe I should be the one running the aisle. Praise the Lord. See, those things don't bother you because we try to protect you in this church from a lot of those kinds of worries and stresses, and so I put it all on the pastor's council. It works great. But this is what I want you to get out of this before I get into a whole lot of stuff, and I know we're running a little bit late, but it doesn't matter this morning. If I stressed over that, the miracle to pay that off would not happen. Now stop and think about this. I do things different than any other church, and I'm maybe sharing more than I should share with some of you. I do things differently because, frankly, I believe God is the one that provides. My faith believes God is going to provide. Now, he may use you or he may use someone else, but quite honestly, I have had people outside this church that do not attend here give large sums of money to pay into this ministry. And it's because they see God's hand moving, not because Gary Connor's the pastor, but they see God's hand moving. They see God's spirit moving on people. They hear about what God's doing in this church, and they want to invest in that in the kingdom, and they do that. And that tells me something very interesting because maybe I should right now, maybe, where's those ushers at? Maybe we'll have another offering. I went to a church service one time, or it was actually a conference. They took two offerings per segment, one in the beginning, one in the end. They took an offering in the beginning before the guy, a special speaker came up to speak, and then they took another offering at the end when he got done speaking. And there were like five speakers. So they took like seven or eight offerings that day. I'm thinking, man, I only got a buck left. I'd like to get a cup of coffee or something. We don't do that in this church. We don't do that. In this church, we receive one offering a week, and God has done all this. Well, yeah, give God a hand. Praise the Lord. I just thought I'd share that with you because I think it's so very awesome. But I think this is what I want to focus on. I want to talk about faith that builds on top of a foundation and strengthens the structure and strengthens your walk and your life with Christ. And maybe this will encourage someone this morning. But I want to talk about types of faith. First of all, I want to talk about general faith. You know, Christians have general faith, and that's general faith is what you believe in as far as Christianity is concerned. Now, some of you may not be great theologians and studied the Bible, and you may not even care to know about a lot of these things, but the truth of the matter is, believing in the basic tenets is very important for your foundation, very important for your faith, very important for your walk with Christ, because if you believe things that God doesn't believe in, you're in trouble. If God don't believe in it, why are you believing in it? And I want to be honest with you. There's a lot of things being taught today in Christianity that God don't even believe in. I'll let you search it for yourself. I'm not going to tell you about it. But general faith is believing in the tenets of the salvation by faith in Jesus Christ through the blood of the Lamb and all that, and the virgin birth and the Trinity and all those basic tenets of Christianity. That takes general faith. That's what opens the door. That's what introduces you to an experience in Jesus Christ. If you just begin to grasp the beginnings of the tenets and the teachings and the doctrines of the Christian church, you will begin to understand that God is and that he's involved in my life. And he has good intentions and plans for me. That's general faith, general confidence, get general trust in God. My faith is expressed. It don't have to be large. It just has to be placed in the right place. And that is that God really does exist. And how do I know that? Because when I opened the door by exerting my faith, I experienced Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. That opens the door. That's your general faith. It don't have to be big. It can be a mustard seed size. That's it. But the second kind of faith that I want to talk to you a little bit about is focused faith. You've been taught this in this church for 20 some odd years, and we have emphasized it, we believe it, we practice it, and God has honored that. Why? Well, because God loves us. And I think it's very important for you to understand that, as we saturate our messages with God's love. Not an excuse. God does not excuse sin. God does not just wink or turn his back on what sin is. God deals with sin. You understand? But God loves us, and his love does not excuse, but his love does saturate us and help us to not only understand what his nature is, but always understand what his motive is. His motive is to respond to our focused faith, our personal faith in Christ, our personal faith that God can actually do something that he said he could do in the scripture, but actually does in contemporary times, actually does in your own personal life. Focus faith. I focus on a specific thing and God responds to that. It's not always salvation that God responds to. It's other things, beyond things, focused things. What was your need this morning when you stood in this altar? That's your focused faith. Okay, I got general faith in God, but now I've got focused faith. I need God to move in a specific way in my life. And that's what verse 6 is all about. For without faith, if you don't have some faith, you don't have general faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. Because those of us that want to know God, experience God, any of that kind of situation, we need to come to him and know that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Focused faith is the beginning of diligence. It's the beginning of pursuing God to a point where you experience things beyond the basic teachings of the church. Now, I want you to be careful, because I don't want you to do things like I did. When I was first a Christian, I was nuts. People are looking and say, what's new, Pastor? We used to do things like, hey, we were young. I mean, I'm like, you know, 19, 20, 21 years old, and I've got Christ, and I'm a young evangelist, and I don't know half the Bible, but I'm out there trying to tell people about Christ. And that's where I learned that it's not necessarily a formula that you tell people. It's tell people just exactly what God's done for you that impacts people. You can go all these, you know, five spiritual laws and all that, and that's important to keep your mind in focus. But the truth of the matter is, just tell them what God did for you, and you'll impact people's lives. Because God's done enough in your life to win people to him. But we used to do things like get on top of the roof at night, summertime in Reno. And we would get on top of my friend's house, and we would get up there and pray. And what we were praying for is to be translated. We read that Enoch thing. We wanted to experience that. Man, that sounded awesome. He was, now he's not. Wow, God, that sounds like where we want to go. And so we would spend hours in prayer on top of the roof, praying, and the Spirit would come on us, and we'd get all excited and dance around on the roof. And I hate to tell you, if anybody saw us, they'd have called the paddy wagon to get us out of there. But anyway, and we would pray, and what we saw in the Bible, we believed it. So we wanted to experience it. So we wanted to see this happen. So we had faith. God never did translate us that I know of. Maybe he didn't. I just can't remember it. Yeah, it was in the 60s, folks. But we wanted that. We wanted it. We wanted everything that was in the Bible. We would see something. We would focus on that. We would pray for that. Because we believe God could save us, and we experienced that experience. What else can God do? Anything in the Bible. So we believe that God would do those things for us. And many of them he did do. Some of them he said, you guys are squirrels. And so God wouldn't even talk to us. Focus faith. Then I think there is a laser faith. Okay, you're focusing on your need, but what do you really need? How many times have you prayed, oh God, I need this? And it's more of a focused belief and a focused situation, a focused circumstance. God, I need help in this. But you never really tell him the specifics of what's underlying that and what you really deeply need. Because many times what we think we need, we don't need. Many times what we think we need God to, I mean, if it's an obvious miracle thing, yeah, that's obvious. But a lot of times we go through asking God for things that we think we need, and we really don't need them. Amen? They're not a real genuine need. What I need is God to take temptation out of my life, take addictions out of my life, take sin out of my life. Those are things that I really need God to do. And I'm wondering that if some things that I'm asking God to do, I'm not laser-like, I'm not pinpointing, I'm not focusing so tight of a ray of light on it that I'm not really touching where I really need God to work a miracle. Sometimes I need God to change my heart in a very specific way. And I can give you all kinds of specifics, but you've already thought of a few as I've mentioned that, and probably thought of the ones that were specific to you. But the truth of the matter is, sometimes we throw camouflage in front of what we're trying to say to God. We give God this thing, God, I know you know all things, but here's what I need. And really, God's looking at what you really need. Because here's an interesting thing. If you seek the kingdom of God first, if you put God first, yes, he does know. All the things we think we need will be added to us, but the most important thing we need will be the central thing God does. Because let's be real honest. If God could get this sin that brings me down all the time, if he can get this out of my life, do you think I'm really worried if I got a car that drives or that I got a nice apartment? Or do you think those things are really important to me? No. What's important to me is that I've got the weight and the guilt and the issues that I'm fighting diligently again in my heart. Those things are gone. He does something in my heart to change those things. Now, some of you are too young to know. Yeah, and this is probably not a fair thing. Young people do go through some really, really difficult things, but young people, you know not what you face in the coming days. And just let me just drop it at that and say, there's some things you're going to go through in life that are going to be really knocking you to your knees, whether you go there to pray or you just go there because of the pain and the anguish. But life is going to throw some things at you you don't even know about yet. And you think we old people are stupid. I know that. I know that. I accept that. I receive that by faith. I am stupid by faith. And I know every young person looks at an old codger like me, you go, oh, this guy's so lost, he's so out of it, he's so detached, he don't know what's hip, what's going on. Folks, let me tell you something. Stupid as I am, I know people are people and life is life. And everybody goes through temptations and troubles and trials just like everybody else does. And how much I got in the bank has nothing to do with whether I succeed in those things or not. That's not the issue. There are things that only God can do in my life. And so I think in laser faith is where God begins to do surgery in a way that really does something deep down here that has an ominous effect in the rest of my life. Am I making sense? See, a lot of our problems stem from things that we won't even address or look at in our lives. Hey, sometimes my guilt, because I've not forgiven myself, even though Christ may have forgiven me, if I've not forgiven myself and go on and realize, hey, it's all clean, I don't matter, I'm living up to anybody else's standard. Let me tell you what, if you think you got to live up to my standard, forget it, it means nothing. You need to live up to what Jesus Christ is doing in your life. He knows where you need to be. Don't worry about other people think. If you've committed a sin and everybody knows you've committed that sin, so what? If Jesus has forgiven you, what difference does it make who else knows and what they think about it? If God has set you free, you are free. Give God a hand for that. So that laser-like faith, it drills into your burdens. It hits your situations. It hits your life. It hits all the issues of your life because you can focus a tighter beam on what is really most important and most necessary in your life. And really what God wants is a balance in here between your heart, your spirit, your soul, all of that in your body. He wants a balance there so that he can have an honest interaction with you. No, God really wants to have an honest discussion with us. Not a bunch of camouflage, not a bunch of fluff. He wants to talk directly to you. Let me ask you something. Whenever you get around to it and you get into some real serious, intense prayer, I know a lot of us get around to that once in a while. But when you're in a moment like that, let me ask you something. Just let me propose something and see if I'm accurate. When you are in some real laser-like prayer, and you're asking God, man, I got a need here. You know it. I'm confessing it. I want you to move on it. Help me in this area. Let me ask you something. Does God also tell you, yeah, that's what you're confessing, but you might also need to pray about this? And begin to speak to you and tell you things about you that only God knows about you. Oh, you know them, but you've kept a blanket on them, not wanted to acknowledge them, went into denial about them, insignificance. Oh, I'm under the blood of the Lamb, so these things aren't issues. Folks, your baggage is what keeps God from moving in your life. Now, I don't know about you, but you can pick up new baggage along the road. Amen? Ever traveled? You're old. I don't know about you, but God bless the airlines. I'm sitting on the plane, and they bring all the luggage over to the, have you seen that on those cart things? And these guys are loading it on this conveyor belt, and there's a guy up inside the plane, you know, stacking it in the cargo bay so that when you get there, your luggage is there. I got this nice new set of luggage a few years ago, and you know, you got to put, because everything's black, you know, or sometimes if you're smart, you get something of a different color, but, and you got to tie a little ribbon on so you can know it's yours when all these black cases go by. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Let me ask you this. What does your brand new luggage look like after the time you fly on that plane? It looks like they threw it out of the plane as they went by. You know what I'm saying? And I'm watching these guys. They're just hunking it onto that conveyor belt. And if they're just hunking it with me seeing them, I'm wondering, what are that guy up in the plane doing? He's hurling that sucker, man. Just get it as fast as he can. And then when I get there, man, it's ripped on the side. It looks like it's been drugged by the plane and all of that kind of stuff. Let me tell you what, you can pick up that kind of baggage in your life. You can be a Christian, devout servant of God, and still pick up baggage. Are you still with me? How do you deal with baggage? Laser faith. Let God pierce where it really needs to be hit. Why? Because this builds your faith. It grows your faith. It enhances your faith as you begin to deal with what really God needs to deal with in your life. Some of you have issues about people that have been in your life. Some of them may be dead and gone. And you still have an issue about a person that ain't even there to affect you anymore. Maybe they were a person that was in this church and they left this church and they go into church somewhere else. And you still have anger toward that person or whatever. And you deny that every time you pray, God, oh, I've forgiven them. Lord, forgive. I purposely stand here and forgive them. But inside, you're harboring that. Are you still with me? You're harboring that. Oh, yeah, Lord, yeah, I've already forgiven them. And every time that rises up in you, oh, no, I've forgiven them. And that really is the way to conquer it. But you got to go all the way through with it and really let it go. Amen? That way you get freedom and release from at the same time. Laser faith. I like that part of scripture, and I'm really going to be done at 20 minutes to, honestly, I am. And you watch, because I'm going to do it. Point number two, a first faith that builds. Point number two, what is the motivation? What is it that really causes our faith to really be as effective as we want it to be? It's the diligence. Those that diligently seek. Do you know what that means? That means with purpose and determination. Purpose and determination. Why is that important? Because determination alone will get you so far. But without purpose, you'll never complete it. You'll never get through it. You'll never overcome it. You'll never get prayed. The old time preachers just come on down this altar and pray through. Anybody ever hear that term? We don't use this so much. Pray through. What does that mean? That means a pray through till God has given you the complete assurance that he's worked it out laser-like, operated it out of your life. You are free from it, and now you're on walking a path white and pure and clean. Hello? That's what God's intentions are. That diligence, without purpose, without determination, you will accomplish nothing for your own life, nor for the church or for God. You still with me? It's going to get better here. It's going to encourage you. Listen to me. God rewards those who diligently seek him. Is that not what it says? You must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder. You see, God knows that we need to be told now and then that we're doing all right. Amen? We need to get a blessing now and then. Now and then, God needs to reward us for our diligently seeking him with purpose and with determination. That needs, on the personal level, that needs to be our motivation. I exercise my faith, whether general, focused, or laser-like, I exercise my faith, my motivation, my personal motivation is not to get a reward, but is to seek him. Because when you seek him, rewards come. Am I making sense? Now, that's not tough, is it? You put money in the bank in savings to get a reward, that interest rate. Amen? You understand all of that. It's not an economical thing necessarily, but let's be real honest. When you seek God, he rewards you. The rewards come because you seek him, not for the reward, but for him, because you want to know more about him. That is your motivation. That's also that diligence and that purpose and that determination is also the very same thing the Holy Spirit inspires in you. When you're praying and that voice speaks to you, when you're praising and you sense that power and presence, you're looking at me like I'm a dummy. Amen? 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 Okay, I just thought I'd remind you there. I got a light to let you know when to say amen. Diligently, that should be your personal motivation to exercise your faith. It's also what the Holy Spirit inspires when he speaks, when he prompts, when he touches you. He sometimes even has to prod you. But it's also the third thing is the imputation. It's what God plants in you and births in you. Am I making sense? It's your motivation, it's the Holy Spirit's inspiration, and it is what God puts in you. You look like Christ, you act like Christ, you talk like Christ, you have convictions and morality like Christ. Why? Because he has imputed it to you. He has placed it in you. He has planted the seed in you, and it is growing. And the product of that is what I call expansion faith. Hey, we're talking faith right here that just gets you down the road for Christ. Amen? Even if it's laser-like, it's still just getting you by. It's just getting you past the last trial, the last temptation, the last trouble you've been in. I think what God wants to do is get you to the place that you start having expansion faith, where you start believing beyond where you are now, beyond what you believe now, reaching out to what you cannot see and believing it until it becomes something you can grasp. Expand your faith. Expansion faith. That's what God's really trying to do in your life. We get hung up on the process. We get hung up and have I got enough faith for him to heal me? Have I got enough faith for him to work this circumstance out? Have I got enough faith for him to deliver it? We worry so much about the process. We never let our faith go beyond the process to the expanded level and area where God is already doing these things and we don't have to worry about them. If seeking God with all of my heart produces reward, if seeking God with all of my heart, all these other things that I need in my life are going to be added to me, then why not begin to think in terms beyond those basic things that you think you need? God is trying to take you beyond where you've never been before, where your faith just reaches to the stars. Well, your faith is not limited, but you can believe God for anything. Not weird stuff, God stuff. How many of you need really God to do a refreshing in your life, a God thing in your life, an encounter with God? You've been serving God 50 years, and now you need God to just refresh that, refire you, renew you, get your faith expanding again. I do, amen. Expansion faith. That's where God is trying to take us with all these other things he's doing in our life, with the circumstances, situations, problems, issues, and miracles that we need and God wants to provide. That's all real, but he wants to go beyond that. Why do we always have to stay in that level? I think he wants us to go to a new world, a new area of belief that causes things to happen that we never expected or could have possibly believed before. You've got enough experience with God, exercising your faith, trusting God, enduring through your problems and your trials, which are all temporary. You've got enough experience to know that you can believe beyond that. That there are things in God that you've not experienced yet. There are places to go that you've not influenced. There are things that you can do for the kingdom that you never imagined you could do because your faith begins to expand. Expansion faith. I think it's an awesome idea. It's where you apply your faith with vision. That's what expansion faith is. You begin to believe what you can't see, but God, you believe God can do. You begin to apply the faith until it begins to blossom and grow beyond your circumstances, and you begin to see possibilities like nobody else can see. You know why men are called visionaries? Because they can see what other people cannot see. And it... You're sitting in a little church in Zilla, Washington. You can look at this two ways. You can look at this that God is doing an awesome thing right here. Or you can look that God wants to touch the whole world from Zilla, Washington. If you think only in terms of what God's doing here, you have limited your faith and the capability of God in your life. If you believe that we can touch the world from Zilla, Washington, you're beginning to expand your faith, and God will respond to expanding faith. Always opposition, always ridicule, always going to be people making fun of you, always going to be people denying that's even possible. Pastor, don't try that. It's not even possible. Pastor, don't try to take us there. People have tried that before, and it's never been accomplished. They can't see it. They can't see it. You know where I learned this? Right here in this church. I learned this in this church 25 years ago. Well, maybe we looked at every building in this town to build a church or to put a church in. Every building. You remember that old building down at the railroad track thing that fell down? We looked at that. Yeah, we looked at, the hardware store. That's got a hardware store in it now. It was vacant. We walked in there. Squeak, squeak. Have you ever been in the hardware store in Zilla? Squeakity, 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 squeakity. You couldn't steal nothing there if you wanted to. They know right where you're at. Squeakity, 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 squeakity. Have you ever gone in the hardware store? You start squeaking, they come running over there to see what you're doing. They don't really care if you buy anything, but they just want to make sure you're not stealing anything. Squeakity, squeakity, squeak, squeak. We looked at that. We looked at the old Nazarene church that's been a kidney center and all kinds of different things. I can't remember what else. We looked at that. But you know why that church didn't set us? And we probably could have swung it if we'd have really put our focus to it. The only reason we really didn't do that is because that place is landlocked. And the other thing is there was no place to park. Unless you parked in people's driveways. And, they get pretty upset about that. So we looked at everything, and said, well, maybe we should, that's a death. That's like sticking a knife in a church. Oh, let's build a building. Nobody wants to build a church. Nobody. Nobody in their right mind, and that should be the answer for this church right here. Nobody in their right mind wants to build a church. Go into a building program. Nobody wants to do that. And for young people in here, probably not no big deal. But when you're standing out here looking at a bare field, first of all, you don't even own the bare field. Now your faith really got to be something to get the land to put the thing on and all that kind of stuff. And I learned to see by faith first building built. I saw it. I saw it in my mind. Nothing big and elaborate, just something that was functional, and we would go from there. And the church has expanded in four or five different building programs. I mention that because that's what you've all experienced. Those of you that have been in this church any length of time, you've experienced that. You've gone through that. And that's why I mentioned what our mortgage is. Not because I'm going to take up another offering, but because I want you to understand God does big things with small amounts. He does big things with small faith. So if your faith is expanding... Okay, I lied. I'm not going to do it by 20 minutes till. But I'm going to do it. Give me a couple more minutes and I'll do it. But if your faith is expanding, it's because you see what nobody else sees. And you begin to believe that your journey can get you to where your vision is and what you see and believe God can do. And you believe where nobody else can believe with you. Sometimes you can't get everybody to believe or see this. Sometimes it has to be just you and a couple of people of faith that do it. And I learned that you have to have aggressive faith. Expansion faith is an aggressive faith. It's one that doesn't take no for an answer and does not allow fear to be a stumbling block, but goes and bulls over and runs over, takes the tractor right over the top of any obstacle. You have to have aggressive faith. And this is what I think. And this will be my last point. This is why I know I'll be done within 5 minutes. This is what I think all that I've said to you leads to. Faith, if you have it, whatever level, general, you know, focused or laser-like or even expanding faith. Faith requires action. You can have all the faith you want. If you don't do nothing about it, that's all you got is your faith. Faith requires action, which means what? First step. You got to do something, first step. Faith requires action. Action produces an answer. You still with me? Okay, faith must have action. Action produces the answer. You see, God doesn't answer your prayer a lot of times until you take a step toward the answer. Are you still with me? Okay. Action produces the answer. The answer produces what we talked about last week, thanksgiving and praise. Are you still with me? That all is the process leading us to the expansion of our faith. To believe what is not in existence, to believe what no one else can see, to trust when no one else can trust, to go where no man has gone before. Expansion faith helps you see the future. Expansion faith helps you seize the future. The expansion faith helps you to live the future now. Still with me? It's like this. How many of you have ever... There's a commercial, but I'm going to talk about it. How many of you have ever, because you've probably done this, you've ever been by a body of water, a pond. You take a pebble, and you just flip it out there in the pond, and how it has a little splash here, and then a ripple, bigger ripple, bigger ripple, bigger ripple. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking. God starts you with general faith, goes to focus faith, goes to laser faith, goes to expansion faith. Make sense? That's where you're able to see the future and it doesn't exist yet, but you can believe and live it now. Let me give you one last thing, and I'm closing with this last statement. Don't wait for life to happen. Make it happen with expansion faith. Let's stand, shall we? Don't wait for life to happen. Man, God is good, isn't he? You know, I at the reunion we went to, had a lady, and I had mixed feelings about this. A lady who's got a ministry, and I don't know how big or effective or whatever it is, and she has these bracelets that have a plaque thing on it, and it says property of Jesus Christ, and make the connection. I can't remember what it is, you know, the kind of thing. And so we invested in it. We bought one of those things, and I, you know, kind of skeptical of it. You know, how far is this kind of thing going to go? What kind of ministry? How much effect can this have? It's because I didn't see her vision. I invested in it, and I'm thinking, I don't know this is much of anything, but if it is, God will bless it, and it'll grow, and all that kind of stuff. I didn't have expansion faith. Everything that God has ever done started somewhere, and it expanded from there. You know what the formula is, don't you? You've read the book of Acts, haven't you? You will be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, unto Judea, unto Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world. I think That is the commission given to every church. If you think our mission is only Zilla, we've got a drop in the lake. Or in your personal life, if you think it's just doing this, you need to expand your faith and begin to believe where you've never believed before so that you can take control of life as much as God allows you and let God take care of the rest. And watch how God does the miracles you need, yeah. But watch how you get to where you love God a whole lot more. I don't care how long you've been serving the Lord, 50 years, you could love Him more. Huh? He continues to love us, but all of that is part of the work that I think God is doing to get us to begin to believe bigger, expand our faith. Because I don't think you can see beyond those doors until you expand your faith and put some action to it, see how it begins to ripple on out there. Father, we love You today. Oh man, we just have these great giant ideas, Lord, and we want to do mighty things for the kingdom, but too often we're struggling with our personal failures and problems and fears, and we never take that action step. Father, we need You to help us take that action step that expands our faith. Let us make a lot of ripples, not little ones, lots of them. So that You can be seen and so that we can show our love to You in a greater capacity. Give us all a vision for our life to be greater than it is right now. I ask that prayer in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can you receive that? God bless you this morning.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.